It's time to get brutally honest.
We asked him about Eli and Ben McAdoo and what the Giants are doing.
I think it's a disaster. I think it's a disaster and it's an embarrassment.
He probably hates the Giants. He was a Cowboy and an Eagle. They're two biggest rivals.
So rattled.
Hates the Giants.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Well, we have Craig Button in here, the esteemed Craig Button.
Boy, did your mood change quickly, I'll tell you that.
I'm in a
Craig,
great mood.
Craig, I gotta let you in on something. There was a dark cloud over that guy's head about four minutes ago, maybe 6 minutes ago. And you walked in the building. You got to walk me through this, though. You paid a debt, and
wait a second. Stop there.
Yeah.
No, you're saying there was a dark cloud in there. It's changed because I walked into the building. You don't have to add anything
that's
more.
Right. That's okay. That's fine.
That's what I do in. When I walk in the building.
You walked in. You brightened his day by bringing gifts. One gift and one payment of debt. Is that what I'm understood here? Now walk me through what happened. Was it a couple weeks ago when you were on the show? It was a Friday. I think I was in like Columbus or something.
Yeah, you were definitely off.
My Twitter feed was blowing up saying, Noodles, you got to get back to the show because all hell's breaking loose, which usually happens on a Friday. But they're talking wine and Kaz isn't on the show.
So if my memory serves me correctly, the O-Dog was telling a story about how some guy came up to him and said, hey, nice to meet you, I'm a fan of the show. By the way, either my brother or a buddy of mine spotted you out for dinner one night, and he was surprised you were drinking white wine.
Yeah.
As if you're supposed to only drink scotch or whiskey or...
Or like Pilsner or some sort of gritty beer.
12% beer.
Yeah.
You know. So
water
or vodka water or something like that. And so O started saying, what's wrong with that? And he kind of threw it out there that me personally, Brian Hayes, I appreciate a white wine. I'm a white wine kind of guy. And Craig, being the cultured, esteemed gentleman that he is, he threw his hat into that ring and said he likes different types of wine, including a white wine.
Right.
And also a, what would this be considered?
It's a rosé, a Pinot Noir.
A rosé, a Pinot Noir that
Focal
he was talking
Blosser, Oregon,
of.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're a big fan of that. And he said, I'm going to bring one of those in for you, which you did. And that day we actually were teeing up the Grey Cup, which was the Argos against the Stamps. So my team in Toronto, his team in Calgary, and we decided to bet a bottle of white wine on that, on the outcome, and the Argos won. So Craig hooked me up in terms of the Grey Cup bet, also just because he's a good man with the rosé of Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Am I saying that correctly?
Yep.
Pinot Noir. I'm looking forward to both.
Yeah.
I might drink both. Same night. Depending on how I'm feeling.
Could go down. Yeah. Could go down.
And
well.
Then he'll tell Aaron, I had some really nice wine. We'll have to you gotta share it with Aaron.
Right? Absolutely. Oh, she'll have a glass or two.
And the white wine is from Osoyoos, British Columbia, right on the border of, you know the area?
Mm-hmm.
They got some great wine out there, huh?
Well, if you go south of there, that's in, like, Osoyoos is more south of Penticton and Vernon.
It's right on the border of Washington.
It's actually by Spokane, more by Spokane. But there's great hockey schools there. There's great vineyards.
How would the vineyards out there compare to Niagara Falls? Like Niagara on the lake and their vineyards.
Different growing, more dry out there. It's more like that's in the valley. Like if you get into the valley, you well know
Okanagan
you get into Spokane
valley.
And you get down into Kennewick and the Tri Cities. That's desert almost like valley. So the different growing conditions, and so you get a little different wine. Jacobus is from Osoyoos.
Yes, my understanding is that Kelowna area has the best temperature in Canada year round as far as average. And that's why you see, I think there's got to be 50 NHL players that live in the Kelowna area, and they train. And think about it. You're a hockey player. You want to be on the water. The Okanagan is a great body of water to water ski and everything. There's great golf there, and there's all vineyards everywhere. So it's wine, golf, and water. All three things that I don't do, and I owned a place there.
But a lot of hockey players do.
But you train. There's The ice there in the summer is awesome because there's just so many guys. Shea Weber and Getzlaff and Penner. Like, you go right down the list.
I think Muskoka should take on
That would be Kelowna. Awesome. Muskoka versus Kelowna.
Because all the Western Canadian guys,
they
a lot
there.
Of them hang out in Kelowna. All the Ontario kids are up in Muskoka.
That's actually a great call.
Be a great
For
battle.
Charity in the summer, do a Muskoka versus Kelowna. Like,
meet somewhere in the middle. Meet in like Winnipeg or...
Yeah, but just... Yeah, meet somewhere in the middle where you could have some fun with it, do it for charity. But you could actually, I think there's enough people, especially from Ontario, you could house two teams, and probably same thing from the Kelowna area. You could put together two teams of at least 15 to 20 guys.
If you're looking for autographs, and I'm sure there's a couple of autograph seekers out there, some gremlins just looking to get some autographs, you go to St. Mike's in the summer on like a Sunday night.
Really?
Everyone's coming out of there. Stamkos, Tavares, McDavid, they all skate down there. I think they have two different crews because they have so many guys that skate. Giordano's probably down there.
Yeah,
Sagan's down there.
Yep. Had
They're
a chat with Gio last night, actually. Ran into him.
Oh, yeah.
Down to say hello to some of the guys from the Flames just because of my close friend Peter Hanlon, their PR guy, and ran into some of the guys in the lobby coming home from dinner and stuff. So had a quick chat with Gio, and I think there's... concern, you know, you could tell they were ball business. Like, it was the Leafs, they're a good team, and I think the Flames are a good team. This would be a good game tonight, and I know it was, they practiced yesterday pretty hard, jumped on a plane, landed, time change a little bit later and stuff, but I think they're pissed, and now there's a lot of local guys too. A guy like Gio's from around here, Matt Stage, and your boy Hayes that you grew up with and played with, and
my guy.
There's a lot. This is going to be a good game tonight, actually.
Yeah, it should
I'm
be a good game.
Looking forward to it.
It should be a good game. I mean, the Leafs, they should be rested. They've
well
been home
rested.
Since Sunday and have had a day or two off, and they're healthy. Bozak is going to be back in tonight. Anderson will play.
Yeah.
They're fielding the team you would expect. And Calgary, for the most part, is healthy. I think Jagr's playing tonight. He missed the game a week ago when Toronto was in Calgary, but...
Yeah.
Calgary's a pretty good team. Now, I was thinking about it earlier, like where they would rank... From my perspective, in terms of must-see TV or must-buy-a-ticket type of situation, they're probably pretty low. Like, even just looking at the Canadian teams, even though they're only here once, so it's somewhat of an exclusive ticket, because of that, I would probably put Edmonton 1. I think I'd go Winnipeg 2. I'd still go Montreal 3 because of the history and the buzz.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe Ottawa 4 again because of the history and the proximity. So Calgary's like 5 or 6 with Vancouver in terms of teams where it's like, I got to see them play.
I agree.
And that's not taking a shot at them. They're a good team. They were a playoff team a year ago, but they don't compare with McDavid and the Oilers. And look at what Winnipeg's all about right now.
You're right, because McDavid and the Oilers, it's just there's generational talent, and it's so recent, right? It's McDavid, then Matthews. But... Line A's kicking around in Winnipeg. How good Winnipeg is, those are the ones that must see for sure. That's a lock. Calgary's a team that they've got star power in Johnny Gaudreau. I think Sean Monahan. Matthew Tkachuk is interesting just because of what he brings to the table. He's a pain in the ass to play against. He's kind of a chip off the old block with his old man, which is... You know, tough to play against. Sam Bennett, local kid here, kind of hit the ground running in the playoffs a couple years ago. Has really struggled in the last couple years to find his footing as a real effective player consistently. But they believe in him. They're sticking with him. And but yeah, it's not that one guy. Like, okay, Matthews versus now you could say Matthews versus Gaudreau because
Gaudreau deserves a lot of love and he's having a great year.
Yeah,
and he's a fun player to watch.
Yeah, he's exciting.
There's no doubt about that, but. Comparing any player to McDavid isn't fair. I mean, in terms of just creating a buzz when a guy's in town.
Yeah, that's
like we'll
true.
Witness that this weekend. He's in town for the only time on Sunday night. There will be a buzz around the ACC.
Well, we're going to be at the Pine.
We're going to be downtown right outside of the rink.
We had Jake Gardner yesterday on Leafs Lunch. And so you know, Jake's a great skater.
Yeah.
We asked Jake, you know, okay, skating the way the game is, the speed and everything. But, you know, what are some of the things that you really you know, you're seeing with, yeah. with respect to the game. So he immediately went right to McDavid. I mean, it was recent in his memory from last week. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, that guy, he goes, it's like a different world out there when he's coming down on you. And then, do you remember the play he made in the game against Edmonton last week when he came in the blue line and then he beat a guy, then he tried and he nearly beat two guys.
It was like
tight.
One on three and yeah, he kind exactly, of went yeah. through.
And he nearly
he bumbled it away yeah, at the last
nearly
second.
Made it. So I asked Jake, I said, were you on the ice or on the bench? He goes, I was on the bench, probably happy I was on the bench watching. And he goes, And then he made this point. He goes, it's not just his speed. It's what he does with his hands at that speed. He goes, that's what's frightening. Mm-hmm. That was his word, not mine. Frightening. Like, wow. You think about, you know, like, here's a really, like, outstanding skater in the National Hockey League talking about somebody yeah. that's like that. And that's, to me, is must watch. Like, when you can't wait for McDavid to get on the ice. You're like, on the edge of your seat, okay?
No, you really can't. You're right. If Gardner is thinking this is a mismatch for me, it makes sense why Roman Polak took two penalties in, like, 35 seconds on the ice with him. And you can't even expect Polak to do anything.
It's not his fault. But then, didn't Matthews say he was dead tired after the game from chasing Matthews around?
Or I mean, they matched McDavid up a around? Lot. Exactly. Yeah, they did.
That was the matchup.
Yeah, that was the matchup. And Matthews said, I'm tired from chasing that guy around all night. Like, it's... on not a much of a lesser level, Matthews has that effect on a lot of other players in the
sure
league
is.
Too, because they're talking about his release, they're talking about how he shoots in stride, how deceptive he is. I've talked to a couple goalies in the league already about Matthews' release and how deceptive it is, and it's tough to get set on it because it's not even on a stick off a stick. It's the way that a lot of times guys cup the puck and they'll have a full motion. In a follow through, his is like it's kind of a curl and drag.
He almost curls it.
He throws it. He kind of throws it towards the net.
Well, he did that in was it Edmonton where Brassois got him and he curled it on him.
Yeah,
and Brassois caught him.
Yeah,
but also the game six
Washington
against Washington
he curled it when and threw it up.
He came up and curled in it. Like I don't know many other guys that even think to do that.
No.
Let alone have the confidence to pull it off. And
but that's
I think it was Robin Leonard.
Players.
I think Leonard said a few weeks ago or a month ago, he's got the toughest shot in the league to stop.
To read, yeah.
To read.
Yeah, for
he's
sure.
He's like, I don't Robin Leonard said that
Wouldn't
about Matthews.
Wouldn't he say that about a lot of players?
Probably.
That was a throwaway
right now,
line.
Yeah, that's a throwaway, yeah. but
probably
you're right.
Although they won last night in Colorado,
yeah.
so good
know,
for
yeah.
Buffalo.
Yeah, good for Buffalo.
Good for Buffalo.
Kidding aside. Putting a streak together.
Got to make those little jokes.
Leafs
but
Flames
McDavid
tonight.
Is, he is must-watch TV.
Yeah.
Like, you
oh,
just can't wait for him to get on the ice. It is amazing what he can do.
Wow.
I mean... Where would they be without him? They'd be at the bottom of the league. They'd be right
they already
at the bottom.
Are, even with him.
No, but they'd be 31. They'd be 31.
You think without him, they'd be dead last
yeah.
in the league?
Yeah.
You
I,
think they'd be worse than Buffalo without him?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a statement.
That's a
bold
What does he
statement.
Have, 31 points?
Yeah, he's
yeah,
right
take, take him out.
Take the 31 points out and replace him with 12. Like somebody else, you know, like.
Well, that's probably five less wins.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a few points.
Yeah. Well, for sure.
I can't wrap my head around anyone being worse than Buffalo. Buffalo is so bad. And Arizona. I said on the show yesterday, when Arizona started the way they started, I penciled them in 31st the rest of the way. They're not catching anybody. They blew past Buffalo in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, they passed Buffalo.
How about what they did to New Jersey the other night?
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that maybe Buffalo gets on a bit of a streak so that they can calm down a little bit down there. It's just that team, I mean, Craig, you talk about how teams are constructed and the way they are. You know, I look at them and I don't think they're as bad as they seem as far as some of the talent on there. I think the goaltender has been very, very inconsistent, and that's goaltending is the league, right? You get good goaltending and it can mask some of the issues. You get bad goaltending and you've got a poorly constructed team or a team that struggles anyways. We saw what happened with Montreal the start of this year. Montreal was at the bottom of the league or close to it because Carey was struggling. And then, you know, you started rolling through. Montoya get hurt. Lindgren battled for a while but then struggled. Like, it goaltending can give you at least 4 or 5 more points, maybe a couple more wins. And it pushes you into that middle tier that we've been talking about with 25 teams in the league.
Well, and that's what it is. I mean... You talk about where the standings are and how close everybody is. So the slightest of changes one way or another in your goaltending or a key injury to a forward or a defenseman, it can have a real negative impact on you. It really can.
Yeah.
No question. And we've been talking about Terry Pegula and how he owns both the Bills and the Sabres, and it's kind of been tough sledding for both teams, and that city's had some difficult, dark times recently in the sports world. I guess Pegula, I'm assuming he'd be happy with this or on board with this. I don't know if you've seen the news, but it sounds official. Roger Goodell has signed his contract extension, and it sounds like it's a 5-year deal. So it's, I don't know how Pegula feels. I got a pretty good idea of how Jerry Jones feels,
yeah.
And I don't think he's happy about it. And this is a sign that Jerry, he's one of 32.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you think you are, how powerful you think you are. I think this is probably a good lesson to all of the owners.
Don't
think you're bigger than everybody else.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't shock me if there was some spite here. If they were moving towards this direction anyway, but if they almost expedited the process after Jones kicked dust into the air and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, you're out. We're going to really hand him a contract extension. And he's made over $200 million since he took over as the commissioner back in 06. I can't believe it's been that long. And it sounds as if he's going to double that, if not more, in the next 5 years.
I hope he just got the plane. $50 million a year, and he's still pissed that, like, I want a private plane the rest of my life.
For life. That's the best. Not while I'm currently under tenure working for you guys.
Right.
For the rest of my life, which means I can sign this deal, you can fire me tomorrow, and then the next day I'm on a private bird to the Caribbean.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest
flying
of time.
Flying it around, like I'm there, flying it.
Wouldn't there have to be some restrictions on that? Like, because you can't, you couldn't fly every single day for the rest of your life. At some point, they'd be like, "All right, Roger, like you're killing us."
I have
here.
A friend who owns a private plane, and he has a it just parked. It's his plane. He just calls. There's a pilot on salary, who's on call. You have to have. I think there's two pilots because of the legality or something.
Because time, because how much time? Yeah, you
time
have to be rested.
Plus if. You know, you have to give him time off if he wants to have a beer or something like there is some legality involved, but pretty much makes a phone call, sends the bird wherever. He's actually offered one time, like, I'll send my plane for you. Let's go to the Bahamas. I'm like, no, Steph wouldn't like that.
How much would that cost him to send it up here? Like 15 grand?
I think he said about 30 grand per leg or whatever.
So potentially 60 grand to get you to the Bahamas. Yeah. Like, how do you it's not a bottle of wine. You're not repaying him with a bottle of wine if the guy's spending 60 G's on you.
Well, how about this one? So, World Junior Tournament, I think it was 1990, was in Finland, Turku, Finland.
Yeah.
So, George Gund, who was the owner of the Minnesota North Stars.
That's the guy with the huge eyebrows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who went
George
to San Jose, the late George Gund.
Awesome. Yeah.
So he had his own private jet. Anyway, they were in Turku. Jack Ferrara was the GM, and Les Jackson was the assistant GM. I don't know if Dean Lombardi was there or not. Chuck Grillo was there. Anyway, so they're in Turku watching. So George had come to watch a little bit of the World Junior, and he said, I'm taking everybody out for dinner tonight. He goes, I've got this great restaurant. I said, okay, great. So they go to the game. It was an afternoon game. They leave Turku. They get in a car. They go to the airport. They're on his private jet. His favorite restaurant was in Brussels. On the plane to Brussels.
Way.
Oh, yeah. Jack Ferrara told that story. Like, it's like, you know. But then it was like, we're not very far. We'll just go to Brussels.
Live your life, man. That's the beauty of Europe.
Yeah.
You can fly anywhere for like 45 minutes and you're in another great spot.
And you have your own plane and unlimited funds. Like, yeah, okay, let's go for dinner in Brussels. Yeah. They've got great garlic toast.
Yeah.
You know, like something like that. Like,
that would be great if you go there and it's like an Olive Garden.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know what it is about this specific Olive Garden, but I really like this.
Great soup. Pasta fagioli.
Brilliant
soup
in Brussels.
George was a great guy. He loved his
food.
He
was, He was actually. Talk about passionate owners and stuff. Like, we always talk in our world a lot of times about the negativity of a lot of owners. We're talking about Jerry Jones and what he's going. Mark Cuban fights with people. What was a couple of years ago? Was the Clippers, Donald.
Donald Sterling.
Sterling, you know. But I like to hear the stories of the great owners who, like, go out of their way for the players. And there are, like, throughout the NHL and a lot of pro sports, there's a lot of good owners that really care. And, yeah, they've been fortunate enough in their own business world to make a lot of money. And they're very generous with people alike around.
We traveled with his equipment. The equipment guys always had George Gund's equipment.
Oh,
in
really?
A bag. He was always with the team. Because he would show up and he'd go skate with the guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he'd come and skate with the guys.
Well, speaking of owners, I mean, big news out of New York last night that a higher up with Rogers threw out the idea that they might sell the Blue Jays at some point.
Saw that, yeah.
And it doesn't sound as if it's imminent, but immediately your mind starts racing. Okay, what would that mean? What does that mean for the team in the future? What would it mean for prospective owners who would want to buy the team?
They wouldn't be relocating.
No, there's no way they'd be relocated. This is a very solid,
yeah, exactly,
very successful market, absolutely.
And Jose Bautista is going to buy the team.
Yeah.
He might need some more money.
I know, with those
shares. He could pull a Jeter.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about guys like Jeter and like Jay-Z and all.
Yeah.
They own like 0.5% of the team.
Yeah.
And it's like, you own the team? It's like, no, you don't. You invested like a lot of money, but relatively speaking.
Yeah, they put in $10 million.
For $1.2 billion or something. It's like, you own 0.2% of the team, but we're going to make you the poster boy. But it allows your mind to race a little bit in terms of what you would be looking for in a new owner. And I've got a poll question up on Twitter asking people, if the Jays were somehow sold overnight, what would you want the new owner to do first? 34% begin the process of building a new stadium. 33% demand that Donaldson get signed long-term immediately. 28% demanding a rebuild. And 5% other write-ins, typical responses, get rid of Shapiro and Atkins immediately.
Would you... I mean, a lot of people want a new building down there.
That would be my top priority. If I could choose one thing, because I don't think the owner's going to change a lot in terms of where the team is going.
Right.
You know, I think Shapiro and Atkins or whoever the GM is, people chirp Rogers from time to time. This has been a top five payroll in the league for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Starting 2017, they were like fourth or fifth. They have spent money.
Yeah.
It's not like they haven't spent money. It's not like they're cheap and some new owner will come in and spend $300 million. That's not going to happen. But the building is awful. Like it's almost 30 years. Like, it's not like this building's been around for 8 years and we're spoiled and we're being brats here.
But
it's been around for almost 30 years.
What could be options? Like, do you build it in a different spot or do you revamp it? Like, is there enough space downtown somewhere? Because the ACC's, for me, in a pretty good spot. I hate the parking around there. I hate getting there sometimes. It's a frustration. But it's downtown, right in the meat of where, as a fan, you want to be. Same thing with
the Rogers Center. There are two great things about the Rogers Center. One, the retractable roof that can come with the new stadium, and I think would have to, considering this climate. So you never have a rainout.
Right.
You know, if you buy tickets, you know you're going, and you know the game is going to be played. And two, being the location. The location is brilliant.
So how could
it's
you,
right downtown. It's right in the core. It's where you want it.
But where's the land where you could build if you wanted a new building?
Well, probably the waterfront, but I don't know. I mean, that would be above my pay grade in terms of the city being involved, the prospective owner being involved.
How about this? How about a multi-use facility in Markham so the second NHL team in Toronto can have a place to play too?
And the NFL team that's
going to
come
exactly, right?
Let's get really
one
greedy.
Day late on that conversation.
I was listening. I was listening yesterday. That's all.
He's fine with it. Like,
I want to see a second team here. I'd love to. But
they'll never put another team here because, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs are not giving up their monopoly on the Toronto market. Just not happening.
And the
NHL is not going to... They're not going.
They don't want to mess with that.
No way. They're not upsetting that apple cart.
But why would it matter that much? Like, if there's that much money here already, and let's say a second team could add a little bit more.
No,
isn't it about dollars and cents?
Teams are not giving up their monopoly, and the Toronto Maple Leafs have a monopoly on NHL hockey in this area.
Well, I'll bet you the league would fight that. I know they would fight it.
No, they wouldn't. They're not fighting it. It's not a fight they're going into.
Why,
it's a fight you would get into.
Because
but
they don't care to right now. But if they really wanted to, you don't think they could
I think leagues that if they really wanted to, you're right. But they don't. They don't even have any desire
to
smallest of ways.
They don't care to right now. That's why I think we need a new commissioner.
I've always felt, though, maybe this is wrong, but they have that in their back pocket if all hell broke loose within their league. And I don't think all hell is breaking loose.
No.
But if you're looking at, if you wanted a perfect world, like Florida, the attendance struggles, Carolina, Arizona, the three cities where I believe, or three areas where I believe they built the rink in the wrong place. That's the truth.
Or they put the team in the wrong place. South Florida, Carolina, Arizona, not exactly hockey markets.
But Ottawa,
sometimes
too.
You just got to call a spade a spade.
But Ottawa was in the... Ottawa, Canada, like, that's not Ottawa, it's Canada.
That's fine.
It's a way
but Ottawa is a hockey market. Ottawa will work. I believe Ottawa can work.
Now, wait a second. Now, Ottawa, now we're talking about the same team that didn't sell out Game 6 last year, the Stanley Cup Conference Final?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not so sure that we...
You don't think Ottawa's a hockey market?
I do, but let me tell you this. I don't think Toronto's a second NHL hockey market.
You don't?
Nope.
All right, we'll discuss that throughout the afternoon.
Let's get into that.
Ray is back today. Oh. He's in L.A. How about the wildfires out there? Have you seen these videos?
It's not good.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
In L.A., we're talking... This isn't like two hours north. This is...
Right, you're driving
down the 405, and you're like, oh, there's a wildfire. Crazy wildfire.
I was out there earlier when they were going on, when I was out there with Montreal. And it was really bad up in San Jose. They had it up in down in Anaheim. It was not good.
Wow. It's really scary stuff. But Ray is back. Dreg's on the show. Jerry's always off today. We should point that out. It's not a personal day.
Yeah.
He's not currently getting a mani-pedi somewhere.
He had a family commitment. Yeah.
Family commitment. So we're going to lay off... Carving him, we'll slide in a jab or two, but
he deserves a little bit of solace today.
Yes, but day three of the advent calendar.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We're gonna get to that in a few minutes. And Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Ray's coming up around 5:05. We'll tee up the Leafs Flames tonight. Get into a number of NHL stories. Jerry's percentages in an hour. O's off today, which. For some reason, every time O's off, Jerry's off, too. So Jerry emailed in his hot takes today.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll do a little bit of emailing when it comes to the Jerry's hot takes and Jerry's percentages. Grit Grinder later in the hour. It's a lot to get into. It's a very serious show, Craig. There's nothing funny about this.
The advent calendar, and I'm thinking about the picture of Jerry.
He's right in the middle of right in the middle of the Overdrive advent calendar
and
pick.
And O in the robe.
Cousin Eddie.
I know.
Who are you with the cigar in your mouth?
I don't know
You're
who
Ebenezer,
I am, actually.
Aren't you?
No, you know what I might be is the old grandfather or I don't even know.
Am I Chevy Chase?
Yeah, you're Chevy. Oh, dude, you've got...
My face is massive.
You're the marquee.
And look out of shape, too.
Anyone that doesn't understand what we're talking about, it's up on the TSN 1050's Instagram account. Oh, we've tweeted it out.
Funny. And Taddy is like... All done up in the bottom left corner.
Mm-hmm.
The Tatman, Kara Wagland, Kate Burness. Like, there's a...
It's a good crowd.
That's a quality advent calendar.
Very good crowd. It really is.
Yeah.
We'll get to day three of the advent calendar in 2 minutes.
Okay, people. Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
I'm on my f***ing lunch break, okay?
Merry Christmas!
When Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's gonna find the jolliest bunch of a**s this side of the nut house.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
The time has come for all grit grinders alike to tune into the boys as they spit fire through the mic. That means Noodles and O-Dog and Hayes are your hosts for Overdrive's first annual advent calendar that's grittier than most. We'll have hot takes and lists and friends of the show. So, strap on a holiday feed bag and let that boiler grow.
Where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you.
All right, day three of the advent calendar. First time Craig's been in here for this, but Craig, you're aware of the way this works. And we've had a pretty good start. We played Would You Rather on Monday. Brian McCabe showed up yesterday.
Yeah, Caber was good.
McCabe was great.
Was he in town for some scouting?
No, I think he just called in.
Just calling in. The advent calendar. The door opened and he happened to
be waiting.
There,
okay.
Who knew? How could you possibly know he'd be there?
Yeah.
So we're doing things differently day to day. I will probably recycle a few different bits.
For sure.
I guess with day three here, Craig's in. Let's open the door. Let's see what's up.
On this, the third day of the Overdrive Advent Calendar, I present to you a top three list of the biggest nightmares of the holiday season.
Top three list, making its debut on the Advent Calendar. The biggest nightmares of the holiday season. There are many options.
There are a ton of options.
Unless you're constantly happy and chipper and everything's great all the time, like Steph.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of a normal person, there are things that can fall in your lap that can really rattle your cage.
We went to Costco today. Steph and I just had to go and get some water and a couple things. She bought this like ridiculous ribbon that has to go around the tree. And of course, she's not tall enough, so now I've got to get up on the couch and try and wrap this around the tree. I'll let you guys go, but I'm going to...
That's your present day nightmare.
There's some nightmares involved
okay.
here.
Okay. I kind of see where yours is going. All right. Do you want me to kick the party off here?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to list mine. It doesn't have to be in any particular order.
Sure.
But for argument's sake, I'll go 3, 2, 1. Number three for me, I'm not a big stop and chat guy. You know that.
Oh, yes.
I'm not a big stop and chat guy. I don't need to waste time. We don't need to waste time pretending like we care about what we've been doing recently or what we're doing in the future. In the holiday season, you get some stop and chats that fall in your lap that only happen one time a year. Mm-hmm. You start talking to the third cousin. You don't even know the guy's name. He's asking you what you're doing with your life.
Yeah, it's not good.
I don't know. And I'm not going to break everything down that I'm doing in my life.
No.
But it's like a mandatory thing. Every year, we got to have the stop and chat with the eggnog. And, oh, that's great to hear. Moving on.
Yeah.
So the stop and chats this time of year, nightmare for me. Number two is hosting Christmas.
Yeah.
Or any Thanksgiving, Easter, any religion that you have, any big event that you have. What has happened in my life and with my family is my wife and her sister go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
They live in Hamilton. A couple years ago, they were hosting. I remember on my way down, it's about an hour, 20 minutes from our place, driving and kind of thinking, it's a long ride.
Yeah.
But getting out of there, I was like, phew, this is amazing. No cleanup. You don't have to have all the stress of buying everything and being prepared.
You bolt.
You're out of there. So, yeah, the drive there might be like, we got to get in the car, get ready. The leaving part is amazing. And last year we hosted, and it was...
outstanding.
No, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I'm saying last year I hosted, and it was terrible.
For sure.
It's very difficult to have everything prepared. You know it's going to be a fight. You know there's going to be stress involved.
Well, and if
hosting is not up my alley.
If you're somewhat of a neat freak, too, you know that there's, like, people are going into the guest bathroom, and the seat's up, and there's dribble. Like, it's not...
Lights are on that never go on, shouldn't be on.
And there's always one cousin or uncle or somebody that comes in with their shoes on, doesn't take their shoes off at the door, and they've tracked in some sort of foreign object.
Yep.
Like, it is annoying. I actually had that conversation with Steph the other day, because we're building a house. And she said, next year we're going to have... And I said, absolutely not. Like, we're not...
not hosting.
We're not hosting.
No,
she's
not
like, we're going to have the birthday party next year here. I said, no, we're not. We'll do it. Like, Dylan's birthday's tomorrow. We're having a party at this place, Candyland or whatever. Let the kids bounce off
the
walls.
That's the way to do it.
And they come in. They've got a room. They hose it down when you're done, and you just jump in the car and drive away.
It's perfect.
Like, we'll do it at the house next year. I said, no, we won't.
No guy.
I don't need 50 people running around.
Strong, no guy.
That's a good nightmare.
And number one is calling your wife's bluff on gift ideas. And specifically when she tells you, I don't need anything, or don't get me anything. That is a brain buster.
When you're sitting, you're like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well, that's the truth. But then you might be dealing with a nightmare of biblical proportions come the 25th of December if she is telling you one thing but actually wanting and thinking another.
So you don't get her a present and somehow she's knitted you like the greatest sweater ever or like
she's
something.
Put together something that was so time consuming and so thoughtful.
And you're like, yeah, you told me you didn't want anything.
I called your bluff. You said you didn't want anything. So the bluffs, the conversations between the significant others on what they actually want,
that
what
is
they're
a
looking
nightmare.
Very difficult. Very difficult. That's me. In
Greg,
a nutshell.
Yeah, I have a few. You talk about gift giving. One time, this has had nothing to do with anything, but bought my wife a bread maker for her birthday. She opened it up. She goes, well, I'm glad you bought yourself this gift. That afternoon, it was returned.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, there was no way. Like,
she didn't like bread? Or
She called my bluff.
Really?
Like, I'm not making any bread for you.
It was terrible. It was a bad idea. Anyway, that's a birthday. So my three... things. I don't know what order to go into, but I'm going to start in chronological order. It was in 1992 at the World Junior Championships. So my wife was pregnant with our first daughter. And so my mom and dad were over in Sweden, and it was in Gävle, and we hadn't told them, and we were going over there on Christmas Day.
Uh-huh.
But we had told my wife's parents, and I was big. So we come into the lobby, and we're there, and I haven't told my parents yet. And Jim Pronger and Chris Pronger,
because yeah.
Chris was playing on the team, Jim Pronger comes up to me, and he goes, congratulations on your
pregnancy.
I'm like, this, how the hell does he know? And Chris Pronger makes his little comment about what kind of father you're going to be, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
you're kidding me? And I'm just petrified, like, how the hell did this get out? Well, my wife's aunt worked with Jim Pronger, so she had told him the whole thing. So it was one of those moments where you're going, wow. Oh, my God, how did this get out of the thing? All turned out well. My parents didn't know. We immediately went up, though, and told them. Because we didn't.
Oh, you've got to get the cat out of the bag.
Oh, I was so petrified that, that everybody else would know, because now who knows, right?
If Pronger knows.
Yeah, well, but I'm trying to figure out how did this happen, right? But my wife's aunt had worked a long time with Jim up in Dryden, Ontario.
Okay.
So,
wow.
I mean, small, small world. So you want to know about, so then my grandmother, Rochester, New York, she was dying. And so this is before Carson, but we decided to take my same daughter to Rochester to celebrate, last time, Christmas, but it was long before. So as we're leaving the house, my grandmother's house, I have my car started. We put my child into the car seat. She's asleep, right?
Yep.
Close the door on that side. Things completely locked. The heat is blasting at about 9,000 because it's winter, right?
Yeah,
so it's
before,
right? Blasting, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going, oh, God, how do we do this, right? So anyway, that's a nightmare.
Yeah,
you're going, like,
sure.
You're
that
panicking,
is literally
you're looking,
a nightmare.
And we're just, my wife and I are just kind of staying calm, and we're trying to figure out we can't do anything. Well, we phone a locksmith or something. Well, it'll be 2 hours. And now we're going, right? So anyway, phone the... My aunt phoned, asked one of her children, do you know anybody that could get into a car? Boom. Some guy shows up. Boom.
with the coat hanger.
Oh, yeah. They had it all done.
Good man.
So it was probably, she was in there about 45 minutes, heat blaring. My daughter never woke up.
Perfect.
Really? He stayed there perfectly. But, you know, that feeling of like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now gift giving. Last year, as recently as last year, my wife is always cold. Always, always cold. Okay? On the hottest day of summer, she's cold.
Yeah.
That's just the way she is. So I saw this really neat thing. I said, it's like a sleeping bag, but you can put your arms through and you can tie it and you can walk with it. Or you can just kind of put your arms in, zipper it up, and just kind of snuggle in.
Like a snuggie or something.
This is like the perfect gift for my wife. So we get to Montreal last year. That's where the World Junior was. And I tell my daughters, I said, here's what I got Mom for Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you mind wrapping it for me? Typical father move, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, they start laughing. They're going, really? You got Mom this? Oh, God. Yeah. So then I leave. They're killing themselves. Like, this will be returned, right? So now Christmas morning, she opens it up. And I'm ridiculed. I am, like, beyond ridiculed. And she's holding it up, and she's like, can you believe this? And, like, remember, she's always, always cold. And I am just, the whole Christmas day, I'm ridiculed. Next day, we get back to Calgary after Christmas, after the World Junior. And I'm, you know, it's basically still ready to go on. I said, I'm returning it. She goes, yeah, let me try it.
Yeah, loves it.
Perfect.
Like,
the perfect
100%
gift.
Loves it. Like, I mean, loves it beyond belief. Now,
right.
The girls love it.
Yeah.
Now, my oldest daughter, she wants that gift now. I'm going, like, just trust.
Trust the big man. Trust the big man. Those are nightmares. Noodles, quickly, who you got? What you got?
What I've got now, first one, is at no particular order, parades.
Parade is a nightmare for you.
I don't, like, I'm trying to drive around or whatever, and there's a parade or people walking around, like, just in the middle of the streets, or streets are closed. There's enough congestion in our world, especially in this city. We don't need a parade. I know sometimes it's for the kids and that.
It's a long-standing parade. It's a big parade.
They should have one parade.
That's a nightmare.
Tape it once. Put it on TV. Put your kids in front of the TV and just show it.
Because
every parade's the same.
Imagine
I'm with you on that.
Imagine you could do like 3D, like it's
virtual parade.
Virtual parade, but there's just cars blowing through, and like somehow it's all virtual.
Yeah, like Santa's sleigh, and you're just like, all right, it's a green light. Go ahead, like you move right through.
Yes, that would be ideal.
So this one is the lines are basically lines at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Parking
malls
at the mall, like the mall in general, everything's congested, and there's just people everywhere, and as it gets closer and closer to Christmas. There's last-minute shoppers, including myself, and they're just on top of each other. It drives me nuts. So that one, nightmare. Last one is wrapping presents. I don't wrap on principle. I give a good present, but it's in a bag or it's in some sort of like whatever it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I've heard the complaint because Steph will be like, well, why didn't you wrap it or whatever? Do you like the present or do you like the wrapping paper? And I don't care because the wrapping paper just goes in the garbage.
Right. Oh, immediately. Oh, but, it's so beautifully wrapped. Chuck it.
In the family that I'm in, they save the bows, they save the ribbons and that. On principle, I put them in the garbage.
What do you mean the family? What do they live in the Depression?
Steph's parents.
Why do they save
Steph's
those?
Mom and Steph save the bows and any type of like ribbon that goes around it. They
that right?
save it.
Okay.
Jamie,
I hate that.
My wife's grandmother. Okay, forget about that. She kept the paper. They had to unwrap the gifts in a certain way to keep the paper
Imagine
for next
re-wrapping
year.
Re-wrapping the wrapping paper.
That would be nuts.
That would be crazy.
Those are my three nightmares.
All right, I like it. Good stuff. All right, Ray's coming up. Jerry's percentages in 45.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, time now for the 40-30 Ship My Pants Grit Grinder, brought to you by Ship My Pants. Craig, who you got?
I got Yanni Gourde of the Tampa Bay Lightning. A free agent signing, yep. Lit it up in the Quebec League for years,
Little
went through
guy.
The minors. That's grinding it out. And last night, once the Islanders got back in the game, he said, no,
yeah.
Not tonight.
Like it. Love it.
For me, Buffalo Sabres, Evander Kane. Scored his 13th last night.
Should be traded at some point, you would think.
That's some value, yeah.
My grit grinder. Any Raptor that picked up a defensive rebound last night, because last night marked the first time in franchise history the Raptors held an opponent to zero offensive rebounds. That is so pathetic from Phoenix. So pathetic. And
it's only pathetic if you think that that's an important area to be good in.
You might want to grit exactly. grind. That's literally just grit grinding.
Yeah.
Who's got the willpower to go up and get
right.
that ball?
That is a matter of will.
Yeah, and it's not even like the Raps were playing like an unbelievable style and right. laying everything on the line. It was too easy, but shout out to the Raps for picking up all those defensive rebounds. The 40-30 Ship My Pants Grit Grinders brought to you by Ship My Pants. Stop wasting time shopping for pants. Go to shipmypants.com and start shipping. Ray and Jerry up next.